I was just thinking that.
Oh, Ayana, can you wave me at the 5-minute mark? Okay. And also, could you pass the
Yeah.
Amen. This is my teen person who I love deeply, who I recruited. She didn't know how I was recruiting her when she moved from Hampton, but I met her the first day she moved to Virginia Beach, and I heard she had 3 kids, and I'm like, she lives a half mile away from me. We're going to raise our kids together. So anyway, for those of you that haven't met yet, I'm Cindy Robbins, and I haven't necessarily may have become a mom the same way you all have. I was single in the kingdom for over 13 years and had never married. I always prayed to marry, a great Christian, but I'll die if I'm single if I need to. That's fine. But I was really fortunate to be blessed with my husband. And this is the day I became a mom. I don't know if you saw. So I got a husband and 3 kids all in one day. So I had a 3.5-day honeymoon, even explaining to the kids why they weren't going on the honeymoon was my first lesson in learning how simple you need to make things. And I was trying to be all creative and come up with all these reasons why they were not going on the honeymoon. And finally I said, and they were crying, screaming. I mean, it was this trauma. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like their first memory of me as their mom. I'm leaving them, you know. And I was like, oh no, how do I make this? And so finally, after all these elaborate excuses, I said, okay, let me tell you something. Honeymoons are for adults, and vacations are for kids. And they're like, they stopped their tears. And I said, and we're going on a little vacation to the new grandma and grandpa in December. And it was so amazing. I learned so much from that because I was like, that was totally fine with them. Like, sometimes you make it so much more complicated. And they're like, okay, mom's coming back in 3 days and we're going on a vacation, you know. So no more trying to explain why they're not going on the honeymoon. But anyway. Yes, you can go now. But this is Sebastian. He was 2.5 when I started working with him. Even before I was married, they started calling me mom. My husband was a single dad. Hats off to my husband. And Shante is a little girl. She's biracial. And Vanessa is just 11 months behind her. And I was very humbled by the fact that you think I'm out of the trenches, because I'm not out of the trenches until I die. So that's, let's make that clear. One thing I did want to share, though, before I talked about my lesson, is that I do have a perspective, I think, that can be different than some moms who haven't worked with teens. I was in the teen ministry for most of my single life, actually. And some of my teens are here now, praise God. Yippee, some of the moms. And but what was so encouraging, I mean, I learned so much learning about kids and learning about how they think and what's most important to them. And I look at this trailer sometimes. I don't know. I always have these crazy visions. But I wish, every time I see the trailers, I think of Easy Bake Ovens. And I wish, honestly, we could just put the kids in there and it would pop out in like 10 years and they would be Christians, you know? But it doesn't work that way. And I learned really early on that by the time, and then this is a serious thing, by the time they get to the teen ministry, they've usually already decided what they're going to do.
Yeah.
All right, and some of you understand that. Some of you may, that may be a new concept to you. But please don't put your hope in the kingdom converting your kids, okay? You have to own it yourself, you know? And I'll share a little bit more about that, and then we can look at a couple of scriptures, but the biggest thing that I saw in terms of kingdom kids. Now, training kingdom kids to be Christians is very different than like reaching out to a kid at school. They have a totally different lifestyle, and you teach them how to become a Christian in a totally different way. The kids that are in the kingdom, no matter what their parents did, some of their parents were really educated, some of them maybe GED, some of them worked in the ministry, some of them did not, some had single parents. Some are being raised by relatives. But the common denominator that I saw is whether or not they were being trained by their families and whether or not their families lived out what they taught. Yeah. And so that could be such a calming influence to everyone. It doesn't really matter what the education was, or even if they had biological parents. It's a huge issue in our family. Obviously, we have some different issues than maybe yours will. But God's promises are very true, that if we train them the way they're supposed to go, in the end, they will not leave. You know, you have to really understand that. But you also have to really own that it's really our responsibility, no matter how small they are, to start training them. And if you think that just sticking them in that trailer is going to pop them out, you are sadly mistaken. Yeah. And I had parents who were in the ministry and who had converted thousands of people. And they couldn't convert their kids. And that was really sad. You know. They hadn't trained their own kids, and they hadn't taught their own kids, and they hadn't loved their own kids from day one, and they just thought it was all going to happen at the end, and it didn't. And that brought a lot of heartache as well. So just, it's so wonderful that you're all here. We didn't have these classes when I first became a mom, or I would have been begging for them every day. But anyway, I just wanted you to understand the importance of coming here. And I get how complicated it is to come here. I totally get it. But the more that you can learn about training your kids, the more secure you'll be as a mom. And then the better hopes they have of not just staying around and liking church, but actually entering the kingdom in a really strong way and becoming a great Christian and staying forever. Now, the one thing that, too, and I don't know how much you guys have talked about in some of your classes because I haven't come in the last couple months, but the thing with kingdom kids that's different than kids in the world is that, and the parents really have to get this, is that there's this time period where they're kids. And it sounds really basic, but but then there's another time period where they're lost. And then they become a Christian. And as you train them, you want to be training them. And that's a lot of what I wanted to talk about today with some of the scriptures. You have to really believe that pattern is true for them. They're not cute little kids, and then they pop into the trailer, and then they go to the teen ministry, and they become out Christians. They have to be trained that they're going to become a non-Christian. And it's really important that you understand those three distinct steps. We're in the middle right now. Two of my girls are both studying the Bible. Praise God. Pray for them. And then Sebastian, who's a little bit behind, he's in sixth grade. He actually, it was really funny, he started talking last week. He heard a kid down the block got baptized a couple weeks ago in the Baptist church, and he was like wondering why that kid beat him. And it was really interesting because he shared that with one of our neighbors who we just studied the Bible with and became a Christian. And it was really funny because he's like, you should talk to him about that. That's a good opening question, you know. And so we started talking to him about that. And so it was a great opportunity. I talked to him in the van. And I said, what do you think about so-and-so? I said, I don't understand. How could he have beaten me? And I'm on a track, you know. And I said, we don't know what he did or what he didn't do. But I taught him Matthew 28. I was like, this is your plan. And we will work through this plan. And taught him out there in the parking lot. You know, so again, it doesn't have to be where you're waiting for a particular time and a particular moment and your husband and all the food's there and everything's perfect. It's never that way in my house. You just have to teach all the time. And that's the scripture that I love is in Deuteronomy 11. And we can look at this one. And this is wonderful, wonderful scripture because I just feel like if we can get this one down, then a lot of the other things really just fall into place. Okay. I'm reading out of the NIV. Actually, I just found out there's a 1984 NIV and a 2011 NIV. So if you're 2011 NIV, I'm sorry. I don't have that one. But we have looked at that one. I think it matches, of course. But and this is the scripture that I put on the top of your handout. We obviously will not get through all these scriptures, but I did want to look at a few today with you. This scripture says to fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. And bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land. And the Lord swore to give your ancestors as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now, when is the time that we're supposed to teach our kids? All the time. When we're awake, when they're awake. Even when they're lying down, when they're half asleep, we're supposed to be teaching them. And so, really, and I just gave some points. And again, I try not to teach something that doesn't have a scripture. So these are just different points that I gave. But the first thing that you really want to focus on is making sure that you're preparing yourself to be a great teacher for your kids. I actually am transitioning with my career, and I now train lawyers to teach people how to become paralegals, and I teach law full time, and it's wonderful because I wake up thinking teaching, I go to bed thinking teaching, everywhere I go I'm supposed to be teaching. But you know, I have to be ready, and there's a lot of late nights, and even for my job, it's like that. And so I think, okay, and I don't just have a set time and a set moment where I teach my students at school. They come in all the time. They call me on the cell phone. They stop by my house sometimes. It's a little crazy. But I have to be ready. Like, I can't just say, well, I can only talk to you about law from Monday morning at 10 o'clock until 12:10. That would be really weird for them. And they wouldn't like me. And so I have to be ready with my students. And in the same way, we need to really prepare ourselves. One of the big things that I wanted to talk about was when I put to train yourself to be godly, to deal with your own weaknesses in a spiritual way on your outline, in 1 Timothy 4:7, you know, most of us that have been Christians a little bit of time, we know that. But the point that I wanted to focus on was we all have weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Come on. And you have to deal with them. Mm-hmm. You sticking your head in the sand and hoping it just goes away is not going to help your kids. And I know in like November, December, I started getting really weary. And I was like, well, you'd hit 8 years. And honestly, I thought things were going to be better by this point. Yeah. I thought some of the things that we've been working on for quite a long time, we're going to see great victories. And we haven't seen them yet. And I started getting really bitter toward my kids and really resentful that this has been taking every ounce of my energy. Like, I work full-time, and I support my family, and I help my husband go to school, but that's, like, not my real job. Like, my real job is teaching my kids how to get into the kingdom. So I started just getting really weary, and I had to really confess, you know? There are times when I just hated my kids. I'm like, I am tired of this. I am tired that after 8.5 years, one of them who wears pull-ups won't put the pull-up in the trash can when it's wet. I'm just tired, you know? And I had to really get help with my own heart, because any further teaching that I was doing at that point was only making it worse. You know, I had to get my own heart dealt with and really repent. But also, I don't think any of us are lazy, but we do get weary. And I love the scripture in 2 Chronicles 6, too. I put it on your outline, where it says, you know, you have to be fully committed to God so that God will strengthen you. And even these workshops are wonderful, but it's God that's going to strengthen you to keep your patience with your kids. And it's God that's going to give you wisdom to know what to do when everyone else, they're... I knew we were really in trouble when we would try to get help, and people say, well, we'll pray for you. I thought, they don't want to do either, you know? but it was kind of funny, you know, because you want the quick answer, and you want, well, just do this, and they'll be great. And a lot of things are not like that with our kids. Their hearts are very complicated, and God is the one that we have to rely on and go to day in and day out to be really prepared to handle the pressure. I wasn't prepared for my girls to turn on me. Again, we're like a year ahead of most of you. But I wanted to be the team leader, and they were going to like me, and it was going to be great, and we're going to do all these events. And they were like, I'm not their team leader. And I had to really even change my role in the way I was loving them, because I had expectations for them. They're like, you're not their team. You're not my team leader. You're my mother. And so they looked at me very differently than like a lot of the other mom's daughters did. And so I had to back off my role, learn my role again, and regroup, because I was like, we're in this for life. So I really needed to learn what I needed to do differently. And there were a lot of tears at the Bible Talk Leaders Retreat. I was so convicted. I was like, I hate him right now. I don't know what to do. I love him, but I hate him. But I'm just exhausted. I don't know if any of you can ever relate. I was just tired. I was like, come on, you know? And so I needed to get scriptures, and I'm better now. Praise God. So, but you need to be open when you're like that, because everybody knows it in your household. And they hate you the way you act. And so I really needed to get help. And not vent to my husband, because that will damage your marriage if you're married. Another thing that I wanted to talk about, too, and understanding, like, to be a spiritual teacher, you need to know where you're going, and from day one to start them, understanding this concept that there are choices. Mm-hmm. And I love the scripture in James 4. If you guys can flip over to that scripture. In James 4:4. And we need to really get our own convictions about this, and then we want to help them from day one understand this. In James 4, verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." And I think in order for us to really teach our kids not to be worldly, we have to really understand that. And what I did from the time they were really little, like literally like weeks, I started being their mom. Some serious behavior problems. And no, I mean really bad. Like the one, I didn't know you could get suspended in kindergarten. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You can't. I was a mom 6 days and I learned that. And the challenge was, even with everything my kids are going through emotionally, I was like, we're not writing this off. I'm the mom that left. They have got to get a conviction that they are in control of how they act. And I have to get that conviction. And I can't feel sorry for myself and blame the mess that has happened to them. I have got to train them to be godly. And so when my daughter would get suspended, don't tell them I told you, but I would sit down with her and I would draw a picture, and it would be an arrow. And I would put her, does someone need to come in? Okay. And it would be her, and she would get in trouble pretty regularly for throwing furniture at people. And obviously that's not good. And so what we would do, though, is we would talk about what was going on when you threw this furniture. Tell me what was going on before. Because obviously I can disciple her on not throwing furniture, but that's really missing the part. Like, what is going on that made you pick up that chair and nail that kid? That was really bad. But what happened before, so we can try to figure out what we can do differently next time. And I put it on her. I was like, okay, there's a spiritual choice and there's an unspiritual choice. And that's the phrases that we used. You know, there's a godly choice and there's an ungodly choice. And obviously the choice of the world was to act out, to be really mad. Like, the kid put glue in my hair, or the kid did this. And sometimes it was really bad what the other kid did. But teaching her from day one, okay, when you have this problem, you have two choices. You can choose a spiritual choice, or you can choose an unspiritual choice. And expecting her to understand that, we even put these little drawings in her book bags, and I would say, take this out, put it on your desk during the day. Remember, you always have a choice. And what we've tried to do with our kids over the years is constantly be teaching them that, so that as they're now lost, they understand even now, they have a choice. Like, they can take the unspiritual choice and go into the world and be not Christians, or they can take the spiritual choice that's going to lead them to God, to help them become a Christian. But it's not helpful when we train them using, like, unbiblical words, or good, like, you're such a good kid, or that's so nice. Like, nice and good aren't in the Bible in terms of people. And so it really complicates things if you as parents don't use biblical words when you're teaching them right from wrong. And so it's just however you want to do it. You don't have to do it my drawing, but a lot of times children are really visual too, and it really helps them. Like, I could teach her all day long with my little lessons, but giving her the picture and saying, make the spiritual choice at school, and let's talk about, you know, and we wrote little ideas down. She would draw little pictures. This is what I can do. And it didn't just change overnight, but it did change over a pattern of 2 years. Ironically, she was kind of the child that everybody wrote off and said, you know, maybe she's, she was diagnosed with multiple disorders. I mean, if you'd read the report, you wouldn't even think she'd be in public school. She's now an A student. And again, she's studying the Bible to become a Christian. That's the most important thing for us. But she got that she had choices. And she figured out, well, I can stay on spiritual, and this is what's going to happen, or I can make spiritual choices, and I can get my act together, and she did by second grade. But it took a while, you know, but not just saying, oh, it's okay, oh, I understand, I'm sorry your mom left you. I couldn't baby her. She needed training on how to handle herself in a different way, and she was very little. Like I said, five and a half when we started. So that's one practical too that I think divide the kids' lives and the spiritual and unspiritual choices, you know?
Right.
And always have that as when you're teaching them, why are you teaching them? And where are we going with this? And they have their choices. Don't make excuses for them. Always give them that responsibility that they need to make their own choices. And they have their choices. And then now, as they're studying the Bible, they can see there's choices. And it's like my younger one, actually, it was interesting because one of the big things that Kingdom kids have a hard time is feeling lost. But we've never taught them that they're Christian kids. Like, we've taught them we're a spiritual family and we strive to make spiritual choices. And again, sometimes people even use that, they're not Christian kids. Like, there's no Christian kids in the Bible.
Wow.
There's children, there's non-Christians, and there's Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, children are covered by grace. I totally understand all that. But don't confuse them. It's going to be hard enough for them to feel lost. And I was so encouraged because in August, one of mine was just crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm really lost.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't even been part of the teen ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she was feeling God's guilt. Mm-hmm. There were things in her heart that she knew she had done very unspiritual. I was like, okay, let's study the Bible, you know, like, because I need forgiveness. And that's what you want to be praying for your kids. They have to get that. Like, they are lost. And I never made it, oh, it's okay, it'll work out. Or I'm like, okay, we need to start studying the Bible this week then. And so I started studying the Bible with her. I was like, if the teens can help me, great. And if not, I will study the Bible with her.
Amen.
But like, that's what we do. Like, you're lost. Yes, you are lost. Yeah, you need to get saved. And don't ever give them that gray area in terms of language that you use or anything like that. So the second thing I wanted to talk about really quickly was what we do in our family is where I say practice kingdom-focused parenting. What I think is really helpful as parents, and again, you can use these ones, you don't have to, but you have to decide what are the scriptures that are most important to me and how am I going to run my family? And so what we've done is we pick Matthew 6, seek the kingdom first, obviously. If you're trying to teach your kids what that means, a lot of times we'll put a calendar up and we'll put all the kingdom-related events first and maybe even a different color. Mine are old enough to read now, but maybe for those that aren't, you know, you put all the kingdom events in a color. That does not change, okay? Short of someone dying, we are going to these events. Now, you got invited to a birthday party? Let's see. Does it fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, maybe not. Okay. You want to play basketball? Maybe. Will it fit in? Will it not? But it's very visual for them. Like, this is our plan because we're seeking the kingdom first. Mommy and Daddy know we work nights, but not Wednesday nights. When is our Bible talk? Mommy and Daddy don't work those nights. Like, they have to see us making those choices, and then they have to see it visually. This is our plan as a family. And then we add, okay, as we go. We've also shared, and I think don't be afraid to tell your kids what you want for them. I think some parents are so tentative, but the world tells them all day long what the world wants.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you. Yeah, the world tells them exactly how to be. I couldn't believe yesterday I listened to the radio station sometimes that the girls at my kids' school listen to, and there was a song. It was like, we like to get drunk. We don't like to sleep. Basically, so what? Kind of like, screw you. I mean, it was a horrible song. I'm like, well, they tell them exactly what they want them to do in these songs, and yet we're like, well, I don't want to influence them. I'm like, come on, you know, you're their greatest influences. Tell them what you want. And that was with some of the stronger parents that I worked with. Their kids were strong when they became Christians. They started praying with them. We want you. We love you. Our biggest goal in life is that you become a strong Christian and that you stay a Christian forever. Like, you add that part. Because a lot of them start well and don't finish well. And so you add that part. And then the second goal, and I'm a little bit more sensitive. I know sometimes parents say, when you marry. I don't say that because I didn't know if I was going to marry. I wanted to marry, but I didn't know if it was God's plan for my life. And sometimes people put a lot of pressure on me to marry. And it was discouraging for me in the kingdom, you know. And so I don't say that to my kids, like, when you marry. I say, if you marry, we want you to marry a really strong Christian. We want to help you guys, help people spiritually in your family, and we want your group to make more Christians. And really, that's all we want, you know. And we make it simple for our kids. And we started talking about that since they were really little. And again, like Sebastian, when I first met him, he could only say a couple words at a time, but it was so cute. Vanessa was so sweet. We were telling her about this, and she goes, okay, I have a question. She always has questions. And I said, what is your question? She goes, how will I find the right person? And I said, we'll help you. And I was like, please be this helpful when you're 13, you know. He raises his little hands because I don't need any help. And I'm thinking at first, oh my gosh, what have we gotten ourselves into? He says, I already know who I'm going to marry. And so I'm thinking, oh no, he already has these crushes on my kids. And I'm like panicking, you know. And it was so cute. He goes, I'm going to marry Shante because she always protects me. He's got the right concept, you know. About that all the time now. We're like, do you still want to marry Shante? But anyway, even like I said, he wasn't even talking complete sentences yet, but he knew, like, that's why we do what we do. And so it was really fun, even as they, you know, go through life, we always joke about that. The other convictions that we have just are really basic. Like, what are the two most important scriptures in the Bible to love God with literally everything you've got? We teach them, we expected them when they were like, if they're old enough to sit still for more than a minute, they can put their hands together and pray, and you can even read them a scripture even before they read. When they start to read, they can absolutely read a scripture for a minute or two. It's that really train them, like, that we have to give our first to God, you know, and to really do that as best you can. Even loving our neighbors as ourselves, like, train them as early as they can talk and walk. Let's go help somebody. What do you want to do? Like, get them involved. And even, I think sometimes moms, I see them drag their kids to lots of things, but I don't know if they tell their kids, well, we're going here because of this. Yeah, we're going here because of this. Mm-hmm. We are now going to the grocery store to get food, but we really need to share our feet. We are now going over here because this person has left God, and we want them to come back. Like, maybe they can't even talk yet back, but they really understand a lot. And you'd be amazed, I think, the more you train them, because otherwise they just feel like they're being drugged from event to event to event. So you want them to know, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we try to do that even now, like, when we're gone. Where are we? You know what I mean? With our parents, with our kids. Like, my husband's been gone a lot more the last couple weeks. I'm like, Daddy, is trying to sit in the Bible with two more people tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to get some time with them this weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, tell your kids, even if they're not with you. But again, as much as you can, get them to help people. Also, James 1:22. I'll just read that for you. This was, I think, one of the biggest scriptures that I saw really impacted kingdom kids. James 1:22. Says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And most of them can memorize the do what it says part. And they know what that means. Even really, really, really little. And so I think as much as you're teaching, whatever you're teaching, make sure that you're training them to do that. You know, everything that you teach, if it's possible, even like right then, do what it says. You know, give them a practical example. Like, if we're going to be active in sharing our faith, for example, let's practice sharing our faith in the living room and then let's go share our faith. We've expected our kids, again, I wasn't going to wait till they were baptized. Like, they need to learn how to become, like, godly long before this, you know. Yeah. And so it's really encouraging now because we've trained them for so long to talk to people. They do get a little bit more nervous in this age, but Sebastian's not fearful yet. Like, the girls are, they're very worried right now about what people are thinking of them, and that's for the teens to sort out and help them with that. But, we decided we really wanted to have a Bible talk at our house because our night was conflicting with the teen ministry, and it was really hard to be at our ministry group and their ministry group and help them have friends. So I went to the leadership and I said, I really don't want my girls to become Christians without actively bringing people now. I want them to go after this. I want them to hate the world. Yes, their reputations are that they bring people, but they need to really go after this more. And I can't help them if I'm in another Bible talk at the same time. So we actually changed our ministries up specifically for them because I want them to come to their ministry group and be expected to bring people. Mm-hmm. And I need to be that person to help all their friends get here. There's no team leaders that are going to help with that. I need to help them with that. And I don't want them to be Christians that are, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase dead-end Christians. It's sometimes used with Kingdom Kids. Mm-hmm. They become a Christian, but nobody else ever does.
Yeah. Wow.
And then they go to college, and sometimes they make it, and sometimes they don't. Because they haven't really dealt with, I'm going to hate the world now. Yeah. I'm not going to fit in. I'm going to reach out to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm expected to do this even before I'm baptized.
Wow.
And so really, whatever you can do, help your kids with that. Sebastian was so cute because last week we were outside. We were picking up, we had this horrible gumball tree in our backyard. And it has like thousands of gumballs. And we had sent the girls out with, we have a really small Bible talk. It's 5 Christians right now. And our one neighbor is hopefully becoming a Christian soon. So I was actually studying with her and we sent everybody else out. Go find people for a Bible talk. That's what we do. We don't have a Bible talk of 40. Okay? And so we teamed Ashante up. She's studying, but we teamed her up with a guy that just became a Christian like 6 weeks ago. We're like, go share. Go find somebody. And then Vanessa was doing something else. But Sebastian missed that trip because Sebastian was actually taking care of the boy that we were studying the Bible with mom. So he was babysitting him. Aww. He's in second grade and Sebastian's in 6th. So he didn't get to share. It was so cute because last week when we were outside later, he goes, I hear some neighbors.
But like, you knew.
He didn't get to ask them. I said, go for it. And so again, Sebastian's not studying the Bible. He's in the trailer. You know? And again, I don't send your 4-year-old out, but like it was on his heart, you know, like I need to find someone for Bible talk. It's tonight and I don't have anybody. And so it was so cute. I said, grab the invitation on the fridge. He went over by himself, came back so fired up that he had done something himself. And again, empower your kids. As soon as they can talk and walk, let them lead. Let them do things. And I said, how did it go? And he goes, I'm not sure if they're that open, but they may be making it tonight. Way to go, Sebastian. Let me know if it works out, you know. But is it 5 minutes? Okay. So anyway, that's what you want to get. By the time that they get to the teen ministry, they're already living out so many of the scriptures, you know. And then their transition to be a non-Christian, that's still going to be hard, but they have something to go back on. Like, I know what my parents have taught me. We have lived as a spiritual family for years.
Yeah.
It's not suddenly new to them. It's not like they look at scriptures and they think, well, my parents have been doing this. Why do you want me to do this? Why do I have to go out? Why do I have to sacrifice? Why do I have to go to this conference? Like, they should have already been doing this for years and years and years. And then that way, when they are converted, they're even stronger, and they can help a lot of the other kids that don't have this kind of support in their family, because it's a really, really important thing. Now, I had to tell you these things. Oh, I polled my kids on what is helpful and what is not. And they, I starred Proverbs 10:19, so you can circle that one where it says, don't talk too much. That's a big thing with moms. We can tend to overdo it. And Shante was too shy to tell me, but I said, I think that's one of my weaknesses when I'm trying to teach you something you're not doing. And Shante wouldn't really go for it. Sebastian says, oh, come on, Shante, you know she does it. And it was so funny. I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want my kids to be free and open and not, like, talk about me behind their back. Like, I want them to see mommy's working on her weaknesses, okay? And so that's just a big star for moms. Usually more moms do it than dads. They also said, all three of them said, make sure you, and you can star that as soon as they can talk, they can teach. That was one thing that all three of them separately said. We love it when you let us do things on our own. Like, and we love it when we first started dividing up family nights together. Now they'll sometimes even do the whole family night on their own. And again, none of them are Christians. But they know how to read their Bible. Yeah. They know how to assign songs. They know how to assign prayers. And it really empowers them to lead on their own. So they told me to make sure that you need to do that. The last, again, I put scriptures on here. You can go through them, you know, for quiet times or different things if you're interested. The last thing I wanted to talk about was really, and I wish I could have done a couple of these in the room. I was afraid that we would, like, get water all over. But the one, and I asked him about a lot of different family nights. I just gave a couple examples. But what you want to do is you want to take a scripture and you want to teach it to them, but whenever you can, either have them act it out or do it. The best thing, even not sharing your faith in the living room, but like, let's go next door. Let's share our faith with a neighbor. Like, that's real to them, you know, rather than just practicing in the living room all the time. Like, take them out. And it takes a lot of coordination. I get it. I totally know. But it's so worth it in the end for them to have all these victories where they're doing things on their own. We took this scripture in Proverbs 17, because they're all close in age, they tend to, you know, get at each other pretty quickly. But we took a scripture like, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. We took that scripture, and I was like, these kids are driving me nuts. Like, because one would say something, and then the other one would always, and it would just be constant. And I was beyond, like, exhausted trying to figure this out. So I took the scripture, and I was like, we're going to make a dam. And we actually got on the internet. We made little boats. Every family member made a boat. Again, you may need to make boats for your little kids if they can't quite fold yet. But a lot of them can do a lot more than probably some of you think. So we all made these boats, and then we made a tub. And that was the dam. We put the water in, and we had all the boats floating very calmly. And then we took the dam, and we put it in the bathtub. And we cranked up the water, and we made the dam breach. And all the boats went everywhere, and everyone's like, that one went under, and your boat crashed into me. And it was so fun, because after that I'm like, okay, so what did you just see here? And they're like, well, as long as we don't quarrel, everything is calm. Like, all the boats were calm, but when we start a quarrel, it's what we do to our family. Like, we make the boats go nuts, everything's crazy, it's chaos, it's stress. And we really wanted them to each take personal responsibility for them stopping the quarrel before it starts. And so it was really visual. So after that, every time someone said something like that was really irritating, like, and I'm like, oh, here it goes. I'm like, don't breach the dam, don't breach the dam. And we would have these little things in our family, you know, and it would always bring them back to, don't want to start something. Like, we remember what a mess the bathroom was, you know, when everything was flooded. So that's just an example. That's why you can't do it here. I wanted to do it here, but. And then another one, especially for little ones, if you, even some of the older ones can read. We did this one the kids remembered. They really liked, where we're trying to teach them complete obedience. And so we took index cards and wrote little directions out on cards. Like, turn right, turn left, turn left to the third light, things like that. And if you follow the directions the right way, you would actually get to someplace really fun. And so they all got in the car. They all had their little cards. We're like, who is number one? Number one would be number two. And we had the driver not follow them. And we ended up really lost, frustrated, discouraged. So we're all just sitting there looking at each other like, well, this is great. I thought we were going to go somewhere fun, but the driver didn't listen. And then we read the scripture. Complete obedience, you know? And Dad, of course, is the driver. I was like, yay! So what? I'm not on the hot seat, you know? But I'm like, taking the scripture like from Deuteronomy 5, where it says, you know, do not turn aside to the right or left. You know, be careful to do all that God has commanded you. It's very visual. I'm like, well, Dad didn't do it all, did he? No, Dad, you got us lost. So we started at the No, let him think. Get on Dad, and it's really good, and it's just like not obeying the Bible. You end up messing up your life and really getting lost. And so then we started again, And we're like, okay, Dad, you need to follow all the directions. And they were like all into it, you know. And so then they did. And then we went. We got to some place and we had ice cream. But, like, whatever you can do, trying to make the scriptures like that, like, for the family times, like, really shouldn't be a discipling time for them, but, like, make it really fun and really practical. And then I just wrote some additional ideas down that my kids had talked about, things that they really liked doing. And so, anyway, we can close with Proverbs 22. I'll just read it for you. It's on your little sheet. But it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Really keep that on your heart, and know that everything that you're doing is for that purpose. So, thank you for letting me share.